Sure.
Prayer. Our dear gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We count it a great honor and a privilege to approach thy throne of grace and the group of thy people, desirous of rendering all the praise and thanks to thee. Dear Father, we do ask that thou will strengthen us this day as we proceed through these services, that thou will grant us strength to act with all honesty and integrity in all the affairs of life. We ask that thou will grant us the strength to be honest in our studies and our ecclesia affairs and all that we do with men and brethren. And we do, Father, thank you for this privilege of having Brother Charlie here this day, and we do know that we will receive a rich blessing and message from his lips. Please bless him to this end and be with all these hearts and minds bowed in prayer and thy people all the world over. For we ask these things of you in the precious and worthy name of Jesus.
Brother Charlie has selected as a topic, How Long, O Lord, How Long?
Well, brethren, needless to say, it's good to be here again. What sweeter place than fellowship with the Lord and people. Sister Paul, I want to make a comment about Sister Paul. She was so anxious to come. That is from England. But she has run into some difficulties that have really floored her. She's done a lot of research, given her heart into the Jewish work there. You heard, read in the newspapers about the billions of dollars of gold in the Swiss banks and so on, which was accumulated by Catholics during the time of Hitler's reign, and then were put into bank. Well, they found that's there. So now it's been confiscated and is being given to the Jews in various parts of the world. So she became very interested in that, having had, as a little girl enough and through that era, some hard times. So she found out that there's a lot of finagling going on by those in high levels in the making use of that money. Instead of it going to the needy, they are pocketing it themselves, funneling it off. This has thrown her for a loop, really. She's been very discouraged, very despondent, so I'm asking you to keep her in mind as well. She's gone away to be some friends, whether they're Jewish friends, out in the country, and where it's, there are cows and there's trees and there's grass and so on, and it's been a soothing place for her to be, a needed thing, so remember her. But the point is, she sent her love to everybody here. So I'm very thankful for the privilege of being here. The older you get, the less able you feel that you can accomplish the Lord's will, brethren. One thrilling thing is that the older you get and you look back to those that you remember when you used to rock them in your arm. Now, there they are out here. You are a part of them. And that has a little thrilling aspect. The other part of getting old is that you hear a lot about Alzheimer. Well, it's true. As long as I don't forget my name, it'll be all right. But nevertheless, that is a little difficult in remembering text and so on that you could turn to right away. So you have to make more notes. Well, that's fine, too. That helps to impress it. So to all of you, young and old, do lots of studying on your own in the ecclesia you attend. Do your research when the meetings are assigned to the brethren, subject matters, because if time went on that long, you would begin to feel the pinch of forgetting. And try as you like. Long as I don't forget the lady that's in the house, Ruth, when I come home, I'm all right. So it's real. It's real. You forget. But thank the Lord if we still have the truth today. That is the main thing, brethren. So hold on to it tightly, tightly. Thank you, Mother Dick, for your opening remarks. The year 2000 indeed is speeding on. It seems it's not like when you're younger, a year is a long way away. Boom. A year goes by in no time. Speedily goes by. And in view of that, it has its effect on society, such as the millennium that's coming. It's got them worried politically and economically and in about every way it's touching people. So, the same with the Lord's people. How does the passing of time affect us? How does the year 2000 ahead, when notwithstanding we understand the biblical 1,000 years has started? But as the world looks at it and the reality of the year 2000, how does it affect us? What does it do in our mode and our thinking, our association with brethren in our study? How long, O Lord, how long, how long? God our Father has chosen to speak to us through His holy word, and the invitation is couched in such beautiful, condescending terms. In that one verse in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. This is the God of the universe. Come, let us reason together. That wonderful comes down to our level, individually, brethren. The theme is a broad range, as we have in our text in Hebrews 10:23. The brethren serving have a wonderful scope here. And I did not know and did not hear whether any one of the brethren were appointed to treat the text itself specifically. But I think we all, by His grace, will have some reference to the theme text on your program. The profession of our faith. Let us hold fast. You notice that? I have a question here. Why, Paul, the need of this counseling, let us hold fast? You would think that there'd never be a danger of anyone slipping from it or any reason otherwise. Let us hold fast. The imprecation, of course, is that we could conceivably let it slip from us. I illustrated it that pretended that I had a job in the roofing business. And one day, having to fix a patch up there, I slipped. And I'm coming down the roof, and I'm able to grab on to something there, just to hold. I thought of the people that were standing around. And they would say, take it easy. Don't get scared. Just hold on. Yes, I said to myself, we have to have a good grip. We must have a good grip. That is essential. Or we could conceivably lose our grip. In the realm of present truth in 1998, and the passing of time in relationship to many of our expectation, the cry has been heard, how long, O Lord, how long? We must tighten our grip, brethren, as the passing of time. It can play tricks on us and our thinking. In this era of the harvest, as the harvest goes grandly on, and we know of no time limit here, all the more reason that we should dig in, brethren, and develop that necessary faith to carry us through the storms of life. In Proverbs 22:28, we are counseled, remove not the ancient landmarks. Remove not the ancient landmarks. That is remarkable. In the Hebrew, it means boundaries. Applying it in our time, it would apply to present truth. I like the Living Bible. It puts it this way. Do not remove the ancient boundaries. And then it adds, that is stealing. Indeed, if you were to take those posts that are surveyed for your lot at home, and you moved them over 10 or 12 inches, and somebody found out about it could be a lot of trouble. You'd be stealing. And so it is pointing out to us the boundaries that the Lord has set for us, as in the Hebrew it suggests. We better stay in within those boundaries. That's the boundaries of present truth. And we love to do that, don't we, brethren? Peter's words have renewed importance to us at this time in 1998. In 2 Peter 1:12 we read, wherefore, I will not be negligent, brethren, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. and be established in present truth. We must hold on yesterday, today, and tomorrow, brethren. Our grip must be strengthened, not loosened through time. We must hold it closely. And the grand supply of present truth at the end of this age, this consummation of the age, how wonderful it really is. How long, O Lord, how long? Now we still hear these words uttered, repeated and repeated and repeated. But I want to point out to you two ways in which it appealed to me that these words can be repeated. How long, O Lord, how long? And we want to trace them in the scriptures and get our lesson from that. Sometimes stated in the sense of happy expectancy. That's thrilling. As we review the signs and evidence about us, we're thrilled as we see the things taking place, confirmation of the truth that you and I have been brought up in. Then we hear it, how long, O Lord, how long? With frowns and expressions of hands. We once discussed that down here. Hands tell you an awful lot. Sort of a giving up effect. Doubts included. We must beware of doubts, brethren, that can enter in. They must be fought. The antidote is found in Ephesians 1:13. The prescription. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Let us ask Brother Russell. I can hear Brother Russell and I have a note. And he says, brothers and sisters, look around you. Is there any evidence in which we should let go our grip? I would like to read from volume 2. Let no reader hastily that think or conclude that there are no evidences about us, nor the sun of righteousness is not already shining. Gilding the watchtower, you remember this, the watchtowers of Zion, and enlightening the world. Let him, on the contrary, reflect that we are already in the day when the hidden things are being made manifest. And let them remember that the first work is properly a breaking down of the old and decaying structure, which stands in the place which the new is to occupy. Remember that the first work of the tenderest physician, and you remember Brother Russell refers to it, the physician, and that's beautiful, is often to open the wounds, to cleanse and amputate according to the necessities of the patient in order to make thorough work of the healing. We have the experiences that we have to go to the spiritual, our great physician, for help and assistance. Sometimes the application hurts. Sometimes it hurts. But we know it's for our good. That such services causes pain and is seldom appreciated by the patient at the time, none need be told. And so, if it will, with the work of the great physician, the restorer, the life giver, he wounds to heal. And the trouble and the smite sifting in the church and the world are but the lancing and cleansing needful and a most important part of the period of the times of restitution. We go back in our studies to the scripture, and we like Habakkuk, you remember, 2:1-3, the basis for the divine plan chart. I will climb my watchtower now and wait to see what answer God will give to me in my concern. And the Lord said to me, write my answer on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance, and rush out and tell the others. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass, but be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. And that's how we feel, isn't it, brethren, concerning the truth that you and I have been brought up in. The Lord is in control. Nothing is slipping by his notice. Everything is timed correctly. We must tune in on that. How long, O Lord? How long? Not with despair. It's taken a long time. Is it true what we believe? But how long, O Lord? How long? When the blessings will come to the world, when all those prophecies of old will be fulfilled during that remediatorial phase of God's kingdom. It's that what we're looking for mankind. In the meantime, sitting at the feet of Jesus, enjoying these precious truths in advance of everyone else. What a lesson we learn from David's feeling. David, the king of Israel. He contemplated the deliverance of his people Israel. David began to wonder, though. He became quite worried. In Psalm 94, we read David's feeling. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show thyself. Do something, Lord, against your enemies and the enemies of your people. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward. Rebuke the proud. Lord, how long? David? David saying, how long? Yes, he did. Lord, how long shall the wicked bow long? How long shall the wicked triumph? Twice he says it already. 40 years under David's reign with nothing but war and trials and difficulty. He had reason, it seemed, to wonder. How long, Lord, when you are going to deliver your people? 3 times he mentioned it. Again he said, how long shall they utter and speak hard things and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, Lord, and afflict thine inheritance. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yes, they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. But understand, ye brutish. And now he turns to the people, David, and in your minds, think of him speaking out. But understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? Cries of Israel. He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Oh, indeed, our Heavenly Father, always on the alert, observing. Always on the alert. He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? Oh, yes, he will in due time. And we watch the signs. He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? Yes, yes, he knows. He knows. God has his own timetable. And it is that we must tune in on, or we'll be discouraged. That is the key. His time schedule. O Lord, how long? Positive expectancy is what he's training us in. Positive expectancy due to the signs that surround us day after day. Not, O Lord, how long? I'm getting tired of waiting. That's danger. That's doubt. Let us read the signs daily, brethren. They are the signals to us where we are on the stream of time. And Jeremiah 24 tells us in 5-7, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good. That's what David found out. Eventually, in due time, the Lord came to the rescue of Israel. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. When we tune in on the Lord and wait for him, we get our answers. We can dismiss how long, O Lord, to how long, O Lord, when these things will be reality and accomplished for us and for mankind at large. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, Israel, and will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. You have probably read some of the statistics that we encircle today. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen down. Amos 9, by the way, 11, 14, and 15. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. And I will build the waste places and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make garden, and eat the fruit of them. Now, you brethren, many of you have been to Israel, and you've seen the facts of this. Statistically, then, in 1839, there were only 12 Jewish families in Jerusalem. The number of Jews is still in Palestine at that time was only 3,000. 50 years later, in 1889, there were nearly 50,000 Jews in the Holy Land. 3/4 of the population of Jerusalem were Jewish. The Jerusalem Post, dated August 2, 1998, contained a real estate estimate dated April the 20th, which stated, right now, 1948, it said, the numbers of inhabitants living in Israel was 600,000. 50 years later, 1998, Israel's population has multiplied nearly tenfold to 5.9 million. And by the year 2020, it's estimated to reach over 9 million. Statistically, what worried David way back there, we today are seeing this accomplished. We are surrounded with evidence, so which way are we going to feel? Oh Lord, how long? Oh Lord, how long? As we continue in this blessed truth, and then the blessings will flow over to Israel and mankind at large. It's in that spirit that must be maintained by each one of us. The positive aspect, because every day we have the confirmation of this through the scriptures of those things that have brought us together. Present truth. In a world of infidelity and worldliness, disbelief, it is good to remind ourselves, in October the 4th, 1998, again, Brother Russell, Thou, God, seest me. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. These scriptures give us the proper conception of the Almighty. As with the telescope and the microscope and the telephone and more modern means, and then that, man can enlarge the range of vision and his vision and hearing, so by power still more wonderful, the Almighty is cognizant of all the affairs of His universe. We grant that our feeble minds are unable to comprehend so great a universal intelligence. Indeed, we just scratch a little the realization of our Heavenly Father. We cannot know in what manner the angels, the spirits of servants of God, are His eyes in every place to take cognizant of our affairs. We cannot know in what manner the electric light flashes and serves as a divine messenger. But we can believe that a soul so infinitely high above us possesses powers of information so far beyond our comprehension, even above the telephone and wireless telegraphy and electric light, just are beyond the comprehension of those that lived centuries before. This is the all-seeing eye, our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. The psalmist says, the Lord is good and with tender mercies over all His works. How appropriate are those words? Reprint. This sweeping statement takes in the most boundless of the material universe and also the humbler, as well as the most exalted sentient being. The whole creation is His care. Jehovah God is the great emperor of the whole universe, and His wisdom, power, and goodness and benevolence are abundantly equal to all the responsibilities of so an exalted office. The human mind staggers in its effort to comprehend the mental resources of being who is able to assume and to bear such responsibility. Think for a moment of the memory that never fails, of the judgment that never errs, of the wisdom that plans for eternity without the possibility of a failure, and that times that plan with unerring precision for the ages to come. Never mind about the year 2000. Of the ages to come. Of the power and skill which can harness even every opposing element, animate or inanimate, and make them all work together for the accomplishment of his grand designs, of the tireless vigilance that never ceases, nor seeks relief from the pressing cares of universal dominion, whose eye never sleeps, whose ear is ever open, and who ever cognizant of all the necessities and active in the interest of his broad domain. Reprint 1560. That is our Heavenly Father. Have we any reason then to say, how long, O Lord, how long? We must not forget, though, that we are in the hour of temptation. It is an important lesson for us to bear in mind. We must recognize as well that the wheels of God grind slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. Another lesson. Michael has stood up. The cry of the laborers has reached into the God of heaven. His agent is here. How? As a thief in the night, the Christian's alarm bells are ringing. We talk about systems today to put into your homes against robbers and thieves. Well, we have an alarm system. Alarm system. Our Lord is here. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8, we read. But as to the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written unto you. For you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How important it was, brethren, to realize and recognize and accept that the Lord is here as a thief in the night, doing his work. Oh, well, yes, so much has been accomplished to date, brethren. When people say there is peace and security, then unexpected trouble will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. We are viewing that. Since 1914, brethren, we have seen war after war. Economic conditions have gone. The old system is weakening. It's not getting stronger. To keep going is getting very difficult for the governments of the world. But you are not in darkness, brethren. For that day to surprise you like a thief, my no. We have the evidences. We say again, how long, O Lord, how long? When the world will get its blessings, because we are happy and enjoying the revealment of these present truths today to us. For you are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep, as do others, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For our God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. True. The more we study these things, the more we enjoy present truth, and they'll be fresh in our hearts and mind. And we will be able to help others to see it. Our neighbors, near and far, by any means, communicating the truth to others. What a joy we have in doing that and serving the great one who is likened unto an eye that surveys his vast universe. The words aches and pains of mankind are being monitored. God has not abandoned his human creation, brethren. We read in Psalm 114, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold the children of men. Oh, he's touched with it. But he has a plan. And be well compensated, won't it, brethren, under kingdom condition. Job 34:21-22. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. So when we are talking to people and spreading the truth, we can assure them from the Scripture and some of these Scriptures that our God is not sleeping by no means, for His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth all His doings. Paul said in Hebrews 9:28, the great sacrifice set for the sins of the recovery of mankind at His second advent, he said, that He returns without a sin offering unto salvation. Without a sin offering unto salvation. The preparation and groundwork was done back there at the first advent. A great cost to our Heavenly Father, and He gave His only beloved Son. Tremendous. The one that shared together the bringing into existence of this vast universe. This is the one that exchanged His position as the Logos. His life principle transferred to Mary, born as a child in Bethlehem. The Logos did not exist any longer. It was exchanged for a life on earth. Born a perfect man, on a mission, tremendous mission. A ransomer was needed. Out through the world, there wasn't one that could give himself a ransom for Adam to benefit the human race, to lay the groundwork, to bring them back with a working plan. It was needful in the contract that somebody should die for Father Adam, and there were none available. The psalmist said there was no ransomer available. So this was a costly sacrifice to our Master to come down like this. He came to Jordan on His mission to give His life. He had kept the law. By keeping the law, He was entitled to live forever on the earth. The law said he that did these things would get everlasting life, eternal life. Jesus had the opportunity to live here on the basis of the law. But He gave that life up for Father Adam and for Adam's children. When the time of Christmas comes, we remember the Lord. I always think of these particular things, of the cost to our Lord for our salvation and for mankind. A ransom, a perfect man for a perfect man. And He, to get back into heaven again, as Brother Russell suggests, it was necessary for a begettal, for a new creature to start. And when His fleshly body was given on Calvary, the man, Christ Jesus, remains dead forever. But in His place, Jesus had a new life beginning as a new creature. And it was that was given life beyond the grave when He was raised the third day. The psalmist in 9:18 says, God's eyes and His faith has not been entirely, eternally turned from Him. Psalm 9:18. All through the Psalms you come across about God seeing and hearing and watching. It's beautiful. Psalm 104, 29 and 30. Thou hidest Thy face. They are troubled. When did that happen? The permission of evil in this great divine plan. That He knew the beginning from the end in time. So He allotted the 6,000 years of sin, evil, dying, and sickness, and set aside 1,000 years for the recovery of mankind. Thou hidest Thy face, they are troubled. Permission of evil. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, Ruach, and they are recreated under kingdom condition. Thou renewest. Beautiful. Thou renewest the face of the earth. Isn't it beautiful that we understand what lies ahead for mankind? Oh, we're seeing the earth today, Mrs. Nature, she's misbehaving. Terrible. Storms, rain, every country in the world has had a very peculiar year. All that's going to change. The earth is in an imperfect state. And during kingdom conditions, all these will be rectified. That's in the blueprints, brethren. But God saw the wisdom of permitting evil as an everlasting lesson. It's a bitter one, but they'll never want to go back. Never want to go back to the condition of which they have experienced. Only the great God of the universe could see it in that sense. So to he who says, how long, O Lord, negatively, we say, See what lies beyond the darkness, the clouds, and the trouble. We, like Paul, having tasted of the gospel message of salvation and the blessings which lie in store for all, can say to any whose faith may be wavering, in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Present truth, a part of our curriculum, brethren. We must keep in mind this, that we are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age on age telling. To be living is sublime, though. Hark the rumbling in the nations, iron crumbling with the clay. Hark what soundeth, the creation groaning for a better day. Scoffers scorning, heaven beholding, thou hast put an hour to but an hour to fight. See prophetic truths unfolding. Watch and keep thy garments white. Oh, let all the soul within you, for the truth's sake, go abroad. Strike, let every nerve and sinew tell on ages, tell of God. That's the joy, isn't it, the brethren around the world, by various means, television, radio, speaking, tracts, and so on, are telling forth this time, brethren. We have a duty, more than a duty, it's a joy and a favor, to blow the trumpet, that Jubilee trumpet. Present truth is our inheritance. We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and spectacular time, the presence of the Son of Man. Times of restitution parallel his parousia. Out from the face of Jehovah, Acts 3:19-21. In the Garden of Eden, he turned his face away from Father Adam and the human family. Acts 3:19-21 tells that he's turning his face back. Out from the face of Jehovah, all in the plan, no hustle, bustle, wondering what I'm going to do. Everything methodically coming to pass, which in the end will glorify the God of heaven more than any other way, by this terrible permission of evil. When you have a funeral to participate in, you'd just like to tell them more about it, that they will awaken. Whatever condition, I think of those airplane accident and snuffed out 200, 300 people at once. Terrible, terrifying condition while they have time to realize they're going to go into the ocean. You realize, brethren? Momentarily, no passing of time and realization of time to them, they're going to be awake in the kingdom. We could find no words, a million words would not work as effective as they coming back in the kingdom and getting a new start. There's no other gospel abroad, brethren, that can tell such a story. Out from the face of Jehovah, in that times of restitution, that glorious time. You remember the photogramma? No, you were never there. Some may have. I wasn't even born yet. But isn't it a wonderful, thrilling thing, the photogramma creation? You remember some of the words when Brother Russell stood up on the platform? And he said, the photodrama creation presents the 7 days of creation as 7 epochs, each 7,000 years long. I remember hearing that on the tape. And the seventh as not yet complete. In this view, 1,000 years of the seventh day remain, during which earth and her population will reach the grand perfection designed by the Creator. Beautiful words they were. It is held that this final 1,000 years has already begun. To this fact is accredited the great progress of our day, intellectually, materially. In other words, the great seventh day of the Genesis account is itself a great week, and each day which is 1,000 years long, the 6 already passed and have been man's work week of struggle against sin and death under the curse pronounced in Eden. Now the great Sabbath is beginning. It is as God has raised that the curse shall roll away from the blessing, and the blessings of Messiah's kingdom will come. This will be in the sweet by and by. Let us keep in mind the great Bible fact that creation is not yet complete. That's our message to the people, isn't it? How long, O Lord? How long? And we say that with the feelings, because we're anxious. We're not saying it because, oh Lord, you should have changed your program. Couldn't you speed it up a bit? No, no. Not in the negative sense, but in the positive sense. It's all right to say it then. But not that we're dissatisfied as far as the plan has come. The Lord knows His plan. He will turn the tide in its proper time, brethren. All our hopes and the world's is just around the corner. But we take a lesson when God delivered Israel from Egypt. You remember the conditions they were under, striving under the Egyptian taskmasters. All a picture of the permission of evil. Then came the time of deliverance. You know, the Lord could have taken the nation of Israel across the desert in a matter of a couple of months. All those several million people. But He didn't. So we read in Exodus 13, 17, and 18. But God led them by the way of the land of the Philistine. Though that was near, but God led them through the way of the wilderness. He could have taken them right across. Imagine, it took 40 years went by, browsing around in the wilderness. And He could, in a matter of months, taken them across. That's the way God works, over time. Over time. No shortcuts in God's plan. No shortcut. A wonderful modern device which serves well to illustrate the divine arrangement of time prophecy is what is termed the combination time law. You remember this in volume 2. The lock used in some of the larger banks, like other combination locks, the key or handle remains in the lock constantly. Certain peculiar movements of the handle, known only to one aware of the arrangements, are needed to open it, while the slightest deviation from the proper movements only complicates the matter and makes it the more difficult to open. To those that do meddle with the truth, the present divine plan, often it ends up that in a muddled state. The combination time clock adds the peculiar feature that by a clock arrangement inside the bank vaults, the doors, when closed at night, are so locked that they cannot be opened by one until a fixed hour the next morning, and then only in response to the use of the right combination upon which the lock has been set. You have the right combination, brethren, to unlock this treasure house. Thus, our Heavenly Father has closed up and sealed many features of His plan during the night with His great time clock, which was set to prevent their being opened until the time appointed. Everything on time. In the morning of the great day of restitution. And then Jehovah anointed, He that hath the key and understands the combination upon which it has been set, openeth and no man shutteth. Revelation 3:7. He opens unto us by giving us the necessary information as to how the key of prophecy is to be operated by those desiring to find the treasure of infinite wisdom, the truth. And we may unlock the treasures of divine wisdom now, because the morning hour has come. Though it is early and not yet light to the world, but only by careful heeding the instructions and applying the key to the combination set by the great designer will the treasures open unto us. It is through the means of present truth, then, brethren, that we come to understand every feature of that plan that is revealed today. And you might almost say that there's nothing really left. The book is open. The whole story of the divine plan. We're just waiting on the Lord for the further features and going about in our consecrated lives now to all of us in the consecrated. The grand privilege of sharing with the Lord under kingdom arrangements. It's tremendous, brethren. It should awaken in us greater devotion, less query about, oh Lord, how long is it? But how long, Lord, will our hopes be realized and the world's at large? The wheels of God do grind slow, but grind exceedingly fine. We cannot rush the Lord, and so as we stand, said at the beginning, hold fast. Do not lose your grip. In the positive frame of mind, remember, how long, O Lord, how long? We are, as Bible students understand, in the transition period. God does nothing overnight. It's slow. The old order is decaying. And the new one, and first the spiritual phase, the church, are going beyond the veil in preparation. Eventually, when the nations are humbled. And so we find in that beautiful poem, the divine weaving. See the mystic weaver sitting high in heaven, his loom below. Up and down the treadles go. Takes for web the world's dark ages, takes for woof the kings and sages, takes the nobles and the pages, takes all stations and all stations and stages. Thrones are bobbins in his shuttle. Armies make them scud and scuttle. Web unto the woof must flow. Up and down the nations go. At the weaver's will they go. Calmly see the mystic weaver throw his shuttle to and fro mid the noise and wild confusion. Well, the weaver seems to know what each motion, commotion, what each fusion, confusion is in the grand results will show. Glorious wonder, what a weaving to the dull beyond believing. Such no fable ages know, only faith can see the mystery. How long the aisles of history where the feet of sages go. Loveliest to the fairest eye, grand the mystic tapas lies, soft and smooth and ever spreading, as if made by angels treading. Tough circles touching over, every figure has its plating. Brighter forms and softer shading, each illuminate, what a riddle, from a cross that gems the middle. 'Tis a saying, seems rejected, some reject it, that its light is all reflected, that the tapest lines are given by a sun that shines in heaven. 'Tis believed by all believing that great God himself is weaving, bringing out the world's dark mystery in the light of faith and history. And as the web and woof diminish, comes a grand and glorious finish when begin the golden ages long foretold by seers and sages. In volume 1, page 22. How long, O Lord? No mistakes will be made. No evil deed shall, under kingdom conditions, fail to just recompense. Even attempts to commit crimes must cease. Every knee shall bow to the power then in control, and every tongue confess to the justice of the arrangement. Gradually the new order will appeal to the hearts of mankind, and what at first was obedience by force will become obedience from love and appreciation of righteousness. Eventually all who obey merely because of compulsion will be cut off in the second death. Now to close. A poem. Was I ever happy when I came across this in the reprint? 5991. Sister Seaver. What do you know? It says, how long, O Lord, how long? How long, O Lord, how long shall weakness serve the strong? How long shall might make right, darkness hate the light? How long, O Lord, how long till truth shall crush the wrong, till darkness turns to day and sorrows flee away? How long till wars will see this turmoil end in peace? How long the sin-cursed earth awaits her second birth? How long, Lord, must I feel the proud's oppressor? I'm weary of the night. I long for morning light. I long to see thy face. I long for thine embrace. How long, Lord, till I come to my long-promised home? Not long, my child, not long. Be brave, be true, be strong. The day star doth appear. Kingdom draweth near. Look up, my child, look up. Thou, thy last drops in thy cup, trust where thou canst not see, I soon will call for thee.
and he will call for the world's blessing, for the Lord's people all gathered beyond the veil, and then the grand institution of that mediatorial phase of the kingdom, and the worthies brought back in Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem will go the word of the Lord and the law from Zion, Isaiah 2:1-4. May the Lord add his blessing, brethren. So when you say, "How long, O Lord," as you bow before him, say it in a constructive, positive sense. May the Lord bless.
Thank you, Brother Charlie. How long, O Lord? You know, I think as we get older and we look forward, we wonder just how long, because of some of the failings of the flesh and how much of a nuisance they are to us. But if we look backward, my, how long. Time flashed so quickly by since our little ones were born and so forth. And isn't it going to be that way in the kingdom? How long is this whole permission of evil, 6,000 years, compared to eternity? We can't fathom it, can we? Eternity. Life everlasting. Millennia, drop in the bucket. Thank you, Brother Charlie, for your long years of service to us, and we appreciate the lesson. Brother Charlie has asked us to close with hymn number 314, 314. We'll have an announcement after the closing prayer, so please stay in your seats a moment. Lord's blessing on our noontime meal.
Our dear, kind, and loving Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Together we bow in thy presence in the worthy name of Jesus, thy beloved Son. We thank you for salvation as it's been extended to us. And with joy we look into the future, Father, not just for ourselves, but for this groaning creation. We thank you that you have given us a message of comfort and cheer to this dying humanity that we are surrounded with. Help us to be alert, Father, in every means we can, with the privileges and joys that you had entrusted to us to be your mouthpieces. Bless us together this day, Father. Bless the food that will be set before us. We appreciate your temporal provisions here at this convention. Thank you for the many years past that we have gathered here and the joy that we find in Bellingham. Hear our prayers and our thank offerings. In Jesus' dear name, amen. forgot the time.
What time are we? It's fine. No, I'm real short. 5 minutes.
I know there are a few of you who did not elect to have lunch with us for dietary reasons or whatever. I'm sure that we can accommodate if there are someone that just failed to get that done. And if you haven't, if you'll see Sister Evelyn or myself, we have an arrangement where you can have fellowship together if you've made a different arrangement. So just please see Evelyn or myself. The lunchroom is pretty much directly below you, one floor down. And just go in and find a place, and the waiters will ask you what you ordered, pre-ordered, and we'll bring your meal. So enjoy your fellowship.